Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. And what a week this has been. So much happening. we joke several times, especially on our Sunday night program. So I'll say, because we talk more about a lot of the news things on Sunday night, I'll say, it's been a slow news day, hasn't it? It's our slow news week. Wow, just what has happened just since the last time we were here together. And I hope you are listening with Pastor Lutz there in the last half hour. He had a great insight that he shared from the scriptures about our new vice president selection, J.D. Vance, senator from Ohio here. And just pray for him, pray that he would see the full truth, that God would work in his heart and he would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just a religious knowledge, but a saving knowledge, that he would be truly born again. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people in the world who are well-meaning, And they have a religious knowledge of Christ, but they lack that saving knowledge of Christ that comes from putting one's faith in Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. Well, I won't repeat all of Pastor Lutz's program, but just wanted to say I thank him for being on the radio with me last Sunday night. Pastor Lutz joined us, and we talked about, of course, the events of Saturday, the attempted assassination of Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, and of course many things coming out on that. I'll touch on that a little bit more here today, but I just wanted to share some things as a jumping off point. Watching the convention, the aspects of the convention this past week, and what a convention it was. It was something else. If you haven't had a chance to watch much of it, a lot of it's available online. You can find various sites and you can watch some of the programs. I watched it mostly on two sites, Newsmax 2 and also Right Side Broadcasting. And both of those sites were covering it pretty well. And I don't know about you, but I get kind of frustrated with some of the commentary that comes in from the ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CBS, CNN, all those, even Fox sometimes. But the Newsmax 2 covered it online, on air, on television, and also Right Side Broadcasting. You can find them as well, Right Side Broadcasting Network, and it's some great coverage. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. But in the meanwhile, let's go ahead and open in prayer here this afternoon and make a couple of mention of some things, and then we'll get into a few things here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again. Thank you for your hand of protection upon President Trump last Saturday. Thank you for watching over the people who were gathered together in Milwaukee for the Republican convention this past week, Lord. Father, again, we just pray that you would bless our country, help people in this country to turn back to you, look to you for guidance, for direction, and that people would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And we just pray that you would raise up godly individuals into positions of power and influence throughout our nation, from the local to the state and federal levels, Lord. Father, bless, we pray, and use the program today for your glory. Help us, again, to point people that are searching to Christ, and encourage believers in their walk with you. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can not only find out more about me and the program there, but you can also link from there over to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and you can find out more about things there. You can join us tonight. We have a Bible study this evening starting at 7. 7 o'clock at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can find us at 4174 Wheatley Road, and we're in Suite 200. We're in a commercial strip. We're not in a standalone building with a steeple. If you look for that, you won't find us. But we're in a commercial strip. It's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. We're about midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Brecksville Road and Wheatley Road, which is also Broadview Road on the other side, meet, and right around where 77 and 271 cross, and give you an idea where we're at. But we'd love to have you come out to our Bible study tonight. It's an informal Bible study. We start at 7 o'clock, run till 9, and we've got some refreshments, and you bring subjects and questions and topics, and we talk about whatever's happening in the world as well as things in the Word of God, and just the whole idea that we do on the radio, questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. That's tonight at 7 o'clock at Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And then, of course, our regular services on Sunday and Sunday morning, and the morning service at 11. I'm currently preaching through the book of the Gospel of John, and then on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, preaching through the book of Proverbs. And then coming up this week, we have the Summit County Fair starting on Tuesday, and it'll run starting Tuesday, running all next week through Sunday. And I will be out there. Our church has a booth out there at the Summit County Fair each year, so I will be out there most every day from the time it opens until the time it closes, basically 11 a.m., 11 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday, I have to leave early to be back to the church for our Friday night Bible study, and then I'll be out there all day Saturday, and then Sunday I will not be out there. Some people from our church will be, because obviously I've got services and everything for our church on Sunday. So if you are out and about and you're visiting the Summit County Fair, check out our booth, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and say hello. Hopefully get a chance to see you. I will be calling into the radio program on Friday afternoon. Pastor Lutz will be sitting in for me. Lord willing, we'll be able to get through on radio, and I'll call in, and we'll be talking. I'll be calling in from the fair. We'll be talking, as Pastor Lutz will be here manning the microphone here in the studio. So that's coming up a week from today. So I hope you'll pray for us and pray that God give us the opportunity to share the gospel and to be a witness to people at the Summit County Fair this week. Stop by if you're out there. All right. The events of this past week, absolutely incredible, and it's set up for the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, which, by the way, is the first in-person convention in 8 years. 4 years ago, we were in the throes of COVID, and they did not have a big in-person convention like they did this year, or like they did 4 years before that. And if you remember, 8 years ago, the convention was right here in Cleveland, Ohio. And Pastor John Lutz and I remember one day in particular, we were out there distributing Bible tracts, and we had some New Testament, or actually it was Gospel of John, printed, and on the back of it was How to Get to Heaven from the Republican National Convention. And I was thinking about that. I just found a few of those in a box going through some stuff, getting ready for the county fair, and we found some of those Bible portions, those John Gospel of John booklets with How to Get to Heaven from the Republican National Convention. And you know what? The answer to that, of course, is it doesn't matter where you're at. It takes the gospel, the gospel message, the plan of salvation, in order to get to God from wherever you're at. Whether you're at the Republican National Convention, the Democrat National Convention, at your house, at your job, at your school, wherever you might be, there's only one way, and that way is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, I was impressed with listening to some of the different speeches and things, speakers at the convention this past week. The number of references to God and to Jesus Christ in particular. Now, not everybody that was there was a born-again believer, that's for sure. As Pastor Lutz pointed out in the last half hour, J.D. Vance is a Catholic, and we have President Trump. There's always the question, is he really saved? Is he truly saved? And I think 8 years ago, there were several people that discussed this and gave credible information, providing that he may genuinely have been born again. And people say, well, how can somebody who's born again act that or say that or do that? And I always tell people, listen, there's just about nothing that a saved person can't do that an unsaved person does. And I have been around for a few years, and I have seen some people who were genuinely born again do some just absolutely, you just shake your head thinking, how in the world can they as a saved person do that? Because we're all human, and it all depends on how close we're walking with God. And that's not the focus of my what I want to get into here right now, but I just want to share that. I know personal knowledge of a man who very successful on mission field, but let's just say the language that Donald Trump has used in some cases pales compared to the language that this individual would use in private sometimes. And so that's out there. That's out there. So we pray for people. Pray that people. I do believe I'm going to side on or fall on the side that I think that President Trump is born again, but he's just not come under the right sort of discipleship and training that he ought to be under. But I think something happened to him when he was nearly killed, and I think it's affected him. And we're going to get to a clip there in a minute, but I have something else I want to play before that. And we need to understand, this is, I think this clip by Senator Tim Scott kind of is where a lot of the people in the convention were at. Saved, unsaved, born again, Catholic, Jewish, Muslim, everybody was reacting to some of these things that were being said. And as I said, the mentioning of God by the speakers and even of Jesus Christ. In fact, I actually had a pass for one day at the Republican convention when it was here in Cleveland. And I spent all day there. I was there from early in the day before noon all the way until almost midnight, I think, when I left. And I watched much of it on TV when I wasn't there, and I do not remember the mention of God to the degree that I heard this past week. And that's what you can hear. We're going to play a little clip from Tim Scott here, Senator Tim Scott, as he references what happened last Saturday. And from that, I want to move and talk a little bit about Donald Trump and what I think may be going on there. But listen to Tim Scott. I mean, you almost thought you were in a church service instead of a political convention. But here's Senator Scott.
If you didn't believe in miracles before Saturday, you better be believing right now. Thank God Almighty that we live in a country that still believes in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. And our God still saves, he still delivers, and he still sets free. Because on Saturday, the devil came to Pennsylvania holding a rifle, but an American lion got back up on his feet and he roared. Oh yeah, he roared.
And of course, he's referring when Donald Trump, as they stood up and he reached his fist up into the air and pumped his fist saying, fight, fight, fight. And, this was kind of the mood of a lot of the people at the convention. We came within millimeters. I don't know if you've seen some of the animations that are on available online that they've been showing where they recreated the shots. And It just, and in fact, Donald Trump at one point in the convention, they put up the graphic that he was looking at in Butler, Pennsylvania, which caused him to turn his head ever so slightly at just the right moment. In fact, if you look at it, he probably turned his head as the shooter was squeezing the trigger. I mean, that's the he was lined up and the bullet was flying. And as Donald Trump turned his head by just millimeters. Everybody's saying inches. No, it was millimeters. You look at it, it was millimeters. It just barely missed his head, hit him in the ear. He went down, and when he came up, and to hear at the convention him as he recounted those events, I think he's a changed man in many respects. I think that what he experienced in many ways humbled him. One of the big criticisms that people have made of President Trump, and especially Christians, is that he's too braggadocious. He's too bombastic. He's too full of himself. He needs to be more humble. And I don't know. I just some of what he did, of course, is his persona, and some of it was, you know, just the way he presented himself. But whatever the reason is, I do agree that there would be a need for a little humility. I remember when he was first starting out, he made some comment to the effect of he didn't feel that he really needed anything to apologize to God for. Somebody had asked him that, and that was before he supposedly had a salvation experience. But I do believe that coming within a hair's breadth of nearly being killed had a profound effect on him. And listen to President Trump as he mentions what it is that saved his life, what he believes is why he was standing there last night before the convention.
And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God.
Only by the grace of Almighty God. There was a humbling experience there. And, you know, I was thinking earlier today in the book of 2 Chronicles. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter, let's go to chapter number 33, I believe it is. And I thought I was turning to it already. Here, there we are. Chapter 33, it starts in verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And it goes on to list his sins here, and how just how much he turned against God. And it says in verse 9, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to the people, and they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. Now, in 2 Kings, there's a companion to this, and it talks about Manasseh's sin and the judgment on him. But 2 Chronicles chapter 33 adds a part that you don't see over in 2 Kings. And that's why you read both First and Second Kings and First and Second Chronicles, even though they largely recount the same events, they're complementary. And just like in the Gospels, some of them fill in details that the other ones don't have. Here in Second Chronicles 33, this is what I want to point your attention to here. It says here in verse number 12. Now keep in mind, here's Manasseh, a proud man. Here's Manasseh, man who had no time for God. And it says that he was taken captive, and he was carried bound into Babylon. And it says in verse 12, and when he was in affliction, He besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem and into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And it goes on to talk about how Manasseh was a renewed man. Something happened that shook his world. He could have been killed, but instead he was taken prisoner. And he repented, he turned to the Lord. And he knew that the Lord, he was God. This reminds me of King Nebuchadnezzar himself later on. King Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonians. He was, the Bible says here in Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." And for time's sake, let me drop down here. He's driven out for 7 years. He's lost his mind. He lives like an animal in the wilderness. And then it says in verse 34, "The end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what dost thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me for the glory of my kingdom. Mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me." He says this in verse 37, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he's able to abase." He recognize who the true God was, just like Manasseh did. Now, why did I look at these when thinking about Donald Trump? Now, Donald Trump, as I said, I think he may genuinely have been born again. But regardless, even if you're walking with the Lord, if you know Christ as your Savior, it's easy to take God for granted. It's easy to think that what you're doing in your own strength. It's easy, for instance, for pastors to think, "Look at this great church that I have built," like Nebuchadnezzar looking out over Babylon. "Look at this great city that I have built." It's easy for Christians to take their eyes off from God and look to the world, like Manasseh did when he turned his back on the God of his fathers and the godly heritage that he had before him, and he followed after the things of the world. It's easy to fall prey to those temptations, but we need to turn back and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and God gets a hold of our attention, and sometimes it might take something. It might take something like it took with Manasseh, King Manasseh, or King Nebuchadnezzar there. But in the end, when we're humbled and we're willing to look up, well, Psalm 10, verse 12, "Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble." And then Psalm 10, verse 17, "Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart, thou wilt cause thine eye to hear." And he continues to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, and the man the earth may no more oppress. But there's this idea that God will begin to listen to the heart of the humble. And as we hear, or we look to the Lord, and we're willing to humble ourselves before him, and God's able to speak to our heart. I hope and pray that Donald Trump is a changed man. I thank God that he was spared the assassin's bullet last Saturday. But looking at the convention this past week, I think a lot of people were struck by how close our nation came to chaos. And hopefully it's going to make more than just Donald Trump and J.D. Vance turn to the Lord. But other people will realize that the nation needs God, and without God, we cannot survive. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. I hope you have. I hope you've humbled yourself and been willing to turn from your way to embrace Christ as your Lord and Savior as well. And then if you are saved, that you're willing to humble yourself on a daily basis to walk with Him. Thank God for what's happening. Pray for America. Pray for our country. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.